you guys are going to be blessed. I'm going to read you the entire Christmas story.
Woohoo!
So, should be done about 2:30 here.
Perfect.
Actually, it's just two verses that I'm going to read. And it is the Christmas story, and I don't think it can be condensed in a better form. John 3:16, excuse me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, to condemn the world, that means us, but that the world through him might be saved. That's Christmas in a couple verses right there.
Amen.
You know, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. Jesus coming for us, not to condemn us, but to save us from our sin. And hopefully we recognize that we needed him, and we need him all the time. And what a great thing he did for us. He gave me everlasting life with our Heavenly Father. So Father God, today we just thank you. We thank you for your precious gift at this time we call Christmas. But let us remember that Jesus made Christmas. Christmas did not make Jesus. He made the day. We named this day after his birth, and whether it's accurate or not, we don't care. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate your love for us, Father God, by sending us Jesus, saving us from ourselves, right, from our sin. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. And we just pray that this service be glorify you, honor you, Lord God, and we just thank you for your love. And all praise and honor and glory goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus on this day and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas, Karen.
If you have your Bibles today, let's turn to Isaiah 9. The government of the promised Son. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And as at first he let the esteem, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And afterward, more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea and beyond the Jordan. In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, and upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nations and increased its joy. They have rejoiced before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide up the spoils. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulders and the rod of his oppressor. And as in the day of Meridian, for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for the burning of fuel of fire. And unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, and order it and establish it with judgment and justice, and from that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen.
I was just a little girl, one of the songs I used to kind of just sit on the floor and sing was, "Oh come, oh come, Emmanuel." Do you guys know it? "Cause oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Saying is, "Oh come, oh come, Emmanuel," and Israel waited and waited for the mighty King to come, baby Jesus. It's a powerful song, you know, and it goes, "Veni, veni, Emmanuel, captivum sola Israel, qui gemet in exilio. Privatus dele filio. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. To you shall come, Emmanuel." Kind of a low key, isn't that a gorgeous song? I just love it. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to get that. As I was driving in this morning, I wanted everybody to know that Christmas is just not a date on the calendar. I know when you're young, you think it is, you can't wait for Christmas to come. But really, it's a celebration of God's love sent to you and I. Heaven is singing, an event that gave the star of the night a brilliance. I've read all kinds of things over the years about it was a comet, it was a bright star, it was when a star hit another star, all kinds of things. But I believe that it was such a bright star and it was supposed to be there. And really, it just shone so bright. And it says that the heavenly hosts sing, "Glory to God on the highest." And just, I don't know about you, but a multitude, thousands of angels singing unto the Lord. I don't know about you, but that would excite me, might even startle me a little bit. But this is precisely what Christmas night was like. And to my amazement is that many people don't realize about baby Jesus. And baby Jesus was really taken to Bethlehem, and I'm going to read it to you word for word. And Bethlehem, there were a lot of Bethlehems in Jesus' time. But Bethlehem is mentioned a specific place. And what was amazing, it was probably more like a cave. You know, we build our nativity scenes and they're beautiful and all that, but Bethlehem was very, very rocky. And the other thing that I discovered over the years was that baby Jesus wasn't in some beautiful cradle or some beautiful bed, he was actually in a cattle's trough. And, you know, I mean, where they feed the animals, or maybe some of them drink, I don't know, I'm not a farmer, but it's just amazing that our baby Jesus, you know, was placed in something like that. And I used to say, "Lord, why? You know, like, why did you come like that?" And, you know, I don't know about you, but he came for the humble. He came for the meek. He came for the ones that nobody cared about. You know, as we went to a festival, what day was it, Joe? Saturday night. Was it Saturday we went to the Kelsey Festival? Friday night. And there was a young man, and he was in a wheelchair, and everybody was pushing past him and all kinds of things. And Joe, we had Valet Park, and they were bringing the car up and stuff like that. And I kind of looked over at him, I smiled, and I went over there and took his hands and said, "I hope you have a really great Christmas." I want to encourage everybody, Jesus wouldn't go to the person that was all dressed up, had everything together. He would go to the person no one paid any attention to, because to him they have value. And I really want you to hear that today. When you see someone that's handicapped, you see someone that's hurting, you know, you might not know what to say, but you need to love on that person. I mean, truthfully, God loved us so much that he came down in man form. I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing for me to understand. That's a God that created all heaven and earth that came down in man form for you and me, and for one purpose only, and that's salvation. That's so that you could accept Jesus. And it's not just so that you could go to heaven someday. When I was young, I just thought, hey, that's really cool. You know, I don't want to go down to hell, and I don't want to burn. I just, you know, want to go up to heaven and be with Jesus. But it's so much more than that. He was the light of the world, and you're to have the light inside of you, and you're to be able to give that away. And when I was doing this screensaver up here, I saw that light come down on the nativity scene. I truly don't want to blow your bubble today, but I'm a person of truth, and that kind of looks like something maybe an animal would eat out of. I don't really know. It does look cave-like in a way, and I believe it might be like that. And I'm really sorry I don't think Gary wore blue. And to my amazement, there are a lot of people who just think that, you know, we kind of think of Mary in this blue and white outfit and stuff like that. I don't really think of what she dressed like that. But that's kind of the religious part of stuff. And truthfully, the first people that got a chance to see baby Jesus was the shepherds, and they stunk. They weren't allowed to come in the temples. They hardly ever took a bath. They were just stinky, stinky people. But you know what? They were the first that had the privilege of seeing Jesus. So sometimes when we think we got it all together and we're all puffed up, we got all this pride, you know, just think about who he came to first. He came to the people who were the lowest, the humblest people. And so I want to encourage you with that today. We might be sons and daughters of the Most High God, but truthfully, there's a lot of people out there who don't even know what you're talking about. He is the one true gift. The other thing I wanted to share up there, you know, I remember, I don't know about you, but when I was probably maybe Zoe's age, you know, we put the angels around, but if you really read the word, the angels were there, and then the angels left. And the shepherds came with the bright star. And I think it really amazes people. But really time, the wise men got there. We always say that there were three wise men. There were more than three wise men. There were lots of wise men that came. And they probably got there in Egypt when, I would say probably Jesus was 2 years of age. And that really ticked Herod off. Herod was so gosh darn angry that he went and he sent a decree out to kill all the baby boys that were 2 years and under. Guess how angry he was. He was a very angry person. And I think it's so amazing because I heard a preacher say there's just not the truth preached about baby Jesus. No one talks about all the wise men that got there. No one really knows for sure how many shepherds were really there. We really don't know how bright the star is. There sure is a lot of research out there. So at least I want to bring that news to you and bring you a little bit of truth. We don't really know when Jesus was born, and truthfully, we don't really know what Jesus looks like. We have some ideas. We see pictures, we see all kinds of things. But it's amazing to me that people that pass away and then the Lord allows them to come back for some reason, some loved one, something that they're supposed to do. They always say, you know, it's like when you look into his face, he's so bright. It's like you can't even see the clarity of the face and the clarity of the eyes. There's a purpose. And I really want to encourage you, the closer you get with the Lord, the closer that you're going to be with him. And he is really desiring that for this new year. So some things that I wanted to talk about a little bit different. I want to give you some different scriptures. I also want to talk about why he's the reason for the season. You know, I just really hate that saying. He's the reason for the season, and it just gets, no one cares. But Jesus is that reason. And truthfully, we really miss the greatest blessing that he has for you and me. When we get all worked up and we get all commercialized, and there's nothing wrong with going and buying gifts. There's nothing wrong with going to the mall. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. But when that becomes your priority, and not him, something's wrong. We're to really love him and what he stands for. One of the things that I wrote down here is he was called the Son of David. I thought, well, he wasn't no son of David. You know, truthfully, Mary was probably only 14 years of age when the Holy Spirit came upon her and impregnated her. That's probably all she was. That's just a kid. But she was highly favored. And the Lord said, you are highly favored. Every person that is here, you are his favorite. No one is better than someone else. Everybody's special. But she was highly favored. And out of obedience, she went and she visited her cousin, Elizabeth. And I spoke of that last Sunday. And how Elizabeth carried John the Baptist. And when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, it says that the baby leaped in the womb. He knew who the Savior was. And Elizabeth was so excited that Mary, the woman that was so highly favored, would come and visit her and stay with her for a period of time. That's what I talked about last Sunday. That's pretty special. And an angel appeared to Elizabeth, and I told you the story, if you were here, that Zechariah, who was a high priest, usually you give the kids your name. So like we have Chris Sr. here, you know, there's Chris Jr., and it's like, you know, it could be Junior 1, Junior 2, who knows, what else. But I'm just trying to give you an example of what went on back in that time. Zechariah probably wanted his baby boy, come on here, to be named after him. And the angel said, no, his name's going to be John. And he goes, no way. So what the Lord did was, which really was an angel, boom, he couldn't talk until the baby was born. And then when he got it up here in his brain, that angel told him that baby was going to be called John, when he proclaimed that out of his mouth, he spoke it out. And I love that because no one likes to talk about that. You see, when we got the Holy Spirit so much inside of us, when we know who Jesus is, we got so much to tell somebody. We can tell them that he's the light of the world. That he's all you need. He's the hope. For some people, Christmas is not a good time. It's a hard time. But I want you to know that when you're loved by someone, hold on to that. That's something to cherish, to know that you are important. Because this world out here is pretty tough. But when you know that someone loves you, which is Jesus, that can make you want to go on in life. And don't think that it just happens to us older ones. It happens to the kids that are sitting in here, even as young as Zoe is. That there's something, certain things really bug you and get you down. And usually at Christmas time, it's a time when you just don't know if you're going to make it. But I'm here to tell you from the Holy Spirit that you can make it because you have value, that you are highly favored. Please hear that from the Spirit this morning. So these are the verses that the Lord, excuse me, wants me to talk about. The first one is Matthew 1:11. This is where he is called the Son of David. And really, truthfully, Matthew was really writing to the Jews. And he stressed Jesus' royal heritage. Now, that don't mean nothing to you and me. I mean, really, we don't get it. But you see, we are adopted in. We are grafted in. And what that means is, we have an inheritance. We are a daughter or the son of the Most High God. That's a royal lineage. And Jesus was born in a royal lineage, which was the house of David. And I thought what was really powerful was that he was the king of the Jews. When Joe and I first came up here, I was in awe that people never realized that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. They're his people. You and I were grafted in. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank goodness for that. We have a lot of hope because of that. But that is Luke 1:33, which talks about his kingdom. When Jesus returns, he is going to return to Jerusalem, and he's coming for you and me. And it has to do that he's going to sit on the throne room of David. So that was prophesied way back when. A lot of people don't know that. That's Luke 1:33. Second of all, I wrote down that he was the son of Adam. Now, if I talk to the kids, they go, Adam and Eve, they know about Adam and Eve in the garden and kind of all that stuff. But when Luke wrote, he was writing to the Gentiles. He was writing to an audience to explain to him about the humanity of Jesus. He talked about the royal line. He talked about tracing Jesus' lineage all the way from Mary to Adam, from the first man. Now, I don't know how it happens. I don't know how the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. It just says in the Word that the Holy Spirit came upon her. Now, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you ask the Lord to come inside of you, the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. He's a part of you. And he comes out of you when you learn to speak in your heavenly language. You speak directly to him. But one of the things that I thought was so powerful was that he is referred to in the Word of God as the son of Adam. Luke 3:38. We just sang a whole bunch of songs about Emmanuel. I've seen people spell it with an E, with an I, and I looked into the Word. My Bible shows it with an E. Maybe it's no big deal. But Emmanuel, Jesus is called Emmanuel. The people, sometimes I think it's a little rough here, but back in the Bible times, you guys, it was awful. When Jesus came, it was an awful time. You'd go up and down, think of this holy road. We'd go up and down this holy road and we'd see nothing except crucifixions happening. Just because you went against your mom, or you went against your dad, or you went against the government and you were found guilty. Some people weren't even found guilty. And it's just, you know, crosses all over. They just lost their hope. People fighting. It was beyond words or even our understanding. And so they're waiting for a Messiah to come. A Messiah who would rescue them. And if you really understand the words, when Jesus came, he came humbly in a donkey. Like, how was he going to rescue us? So anyways, it says in Matthew 1:23, an angel told Joseph to call Mary's son Emmanuel. Huh. A few songs we sang here, I go, he's Yeshua, HaMashiach. And Joe and I have taught you different things. People, you know, we ain't Jewish. What are we doing those songs for? Well, those were his names. He just wasn't called Jesus. We call him Jesus. But he was called Yeshua. He was called Emmanuel. And that's scriptural, Matthew 1:33. So an angel told Joseph to call Mary's son Emmanuel, which means God with us. I don't know about you, but I'm happy God's with us. I'm happy he's with me. I'm happy he guides me and directs me. Emmanuel, God is with us. And it really talks about the incarnation. When you kids hear that big word incarnation, that means the Holy Spirit coming. In Ephesians 2:8, it is the blessing of salvation. I don't know about you, if we didn't understand that, I mean, I don't know where your roots came from. I really don't. But he came for one purpose, and that was to save us. What about the third thing? How about our Savior? When I was a little girl, I just knew him as my Savior. I said, do you know my Savior? And they looked at me like, He was our Savior. That's Matthew 1:21. The angel told Mary to call her holy child, Jesus, Emmanuel, which means, which you might not know, is Joshua. In Greek, Jesus is called Joshua. The Lord says, as Joshua led God's people into the promised land, so Jesus leads you and me by what? By grace. You know how you do the river, and I say jump in the river, and my grandbabies love it, and you know they jump in the river and stuff like that. You know the Grace River. You see, you can stand in the river all you want, but you got to bring it inside yourself. The Grace River, you got to take it in. And the Grace River is when you and I blow it. His grace and mercy comes upon us and says, you can make it another day. Just ask for forgiveness. Come on. That's grace. I don't care what you and I do. We can't purchase that grace. It is freely given from him. He just asks us not to do the sin anymore. I've had people since we've been up here say, well, I don't know how you can use that person in praise and worship because they're so full of sin. So are you. Well, I'm not. I'm a good person. I know how to live right. I don't do nothing wrong. We all have sin in our life. We're to repent, give it to the Lord, take on his grace, and move on and not do it again. Are you hearing me? People are the ones that put the finger on someone else. So he's our Savior, excuse me. He leads us by grace. He leads us by faith into the blessing of salvation. I think that's awesome. I love this. He's the Prince of Peace. I can say that our household is peaceful. We live in peace. I like peace. We have music going on in our house. To live in peace, shalom, is only given through the Holy Spirit so that you can have peace. It is not natural. I've gone to people's houses, which I could go in their houses and would love to leave because it's all like, always find faults. Get out the spoon. Get out the bell. Get whatever. You're not full of the Lord if you're that way. Lord says discipline your kids, but there's a way to discipline them when you discipline them out of love. Tell them they did something wrong. Punish them for it. But tell them how much you love them and you're trying to teach them a lesson. Please hear me from the Spirit. The Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Angels saying to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That can also be found in Luke 2:14. Isaiah prophesied about Messiah, that he would institute peace on earth. The gift of Christ was, in fact, the greatest peace treaty that we could ever have today. He's a light to the Gentiles. Luke 2:32. When you met baby Jesus, Simeon recognized the Son of God was sent not just to Israel, but to all people. Isn't that good? He's sent to you and me. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Not just Israel. And what I also put down here was the Magi. I am so in awe about the Magi. I really could preach on that for probably a couple weeks, which you'd be bored with. But the Magi, the wise men, they're really called Magi. You know, they studied the stars. I'm sure that they had other gods. But yet they heard so much about baby Jesus that they went and brought gifts to him. And those gifts, which we learned, frankincense, myrrh, and the gold, they were all symbolic. They all stood for something. And he used it even for his death. He was a light to the Gentiles, Luke 2:32. The Messiah, Christ the Lord, Luke 2:11. The angel described Jesus to the shepherds as the Christ. People get all worked up about his title. He was the Christ. The first part of Christmas, Christ. He was the anointed one. I know about you, that's powerful. In Hebrew, he was called Messiah. He was the deliverer, and he was the one who was promised. Abraham saw him, King David sang of him. Did you hear me? Abraham saw him. King David sang about him. Remember, he's the musician. The prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others foretold his coming. Every one of them were anointed by the Holy Spirit. To do what? To heal the sick? To raise the dead while on earth? He was also anointed to die on the cross, rise from the dead, and he's coming back. We don't know when. We don't know the exact day, but I believe it's on Rosh Hashanah. I believe it's going to be in the fall time. And he's not coming back as baby Jesus, the little cute lamb. He's coming back as the judge. He's coming back from the lion of the tribe of Judah. And if you're a believer, you might not believe in the rapture, but it says taken up. That's what the word says in Thessalonians. Taken up. And I believe that you're raptured, taken up, to sit with him in heavenly places. Because you know what? To be honest with you, you and I could not handle the wrath that's coming. We were bought with a price. We should be so concerned about our friends and everyone to tell them about Jesus. I don't believe you have to go word for word. This is how you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, call upon his name. His great name. That we blaspheme, that we say things about or to other people, not in a nice way. I want to encourage you to watch your mouth for 2020. Because prophets and prophetesses are saying it's the time that your mouth is either going to help you make it or it's going to take you back. I've worked a whole 6 months on that one. I've tried to find good in people, tried to be in a good mood, tried to have joy, and when someone really bothers me so bad that I'd like to flatten them, I know deep down inside, oh my. Who am I that the Lord would choose me? Who are you that he would choose you? Come on, let's get real here this morning. Little baby Jesus. The wonder of Christmas is and will always be found in Jesus alone. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in any of these other gods. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Emmanuel. It's all about him. I don't know about you guys. That's exciting to me. I get excited when it's Christmas time. I get excited because I know that he gives me new hope that I can make it another day. He's the only one that can do that. I want to encourage every person in this place today to enjoy Christmas, find the joy of Christmas. We should be happy. There were four of us that went to, it was like a Christmas party. And all four of us came in and we were just full of joy. It was a great time. We had a good time. Every place that you go, you should have that joy. You should be able to smile. Diane and I went someplace, we had a good time. We just made that up in our mind. We were looking forward to it. I want to encourage you to really have that joy, have that happiness, do something. And the other thing that the Lord also said to me is give.
Well, you know, I don't believe in tithes and offerings, you know? Maybe that's why I'm in trouble.
Because it's like with my little kids, when they were little, I'd give them a quarter, which isn't nothing for kids today, a quarter. But that quarter, my kids knew that they had to tithe. That first, whatever you make, should go to the Lord, whether you like it or not, and you will be so amazed how he will bless you. I'm serious. There are times I'll say to Joe, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to do that. And it's just so amazing how he brings us through because we honor him with our first offerings. You might think I'm joking. There was a lady, I'd love for her to give her testimony, and she would if I asked her. I went to a church and I was talking about tithes and offering, and that's usually when everybody tries to get to the door.
Hides, puts their heads down.
But you know, there's ways that you can give to the Lord. Even, not even money-wise. Every Sunday morning, Karen gives up her sins to me. That's giving to the Lord. Every Sunday, I don't even have to question it. At 10 o'clock, Nick is here doing the song. My husband gets up here, plays the drums. Yeah. It's out of his comfort zone, boy. He's doing so good. You see, when we give, when we think that we're just so gosh darn good that we can't even come into this church and clean the toilet, something's wrong. When you can't wipe the chair down or you see something that's out of place, whatever, give. Give of your time. Well, you know, let's see, I got to do this. I can't come to prayer. You can't? Let me tell you, I've walked with the Lord since I've been 7 years of age, maybe even younger than that, but I just remember that. And I can truthfully tell you things that I didn't have an answer for, I didn't know what I was going to do, whatever, I found time to pray. But he heard me as a little girl, I'm sure, and answered prayer, and he still answers prayer today. That's giving. So the Lord told me to say that to you today. What are you giving? Phone call? A card? What? That's not a condemnation. I remember the kids in school. I taught school for it seemed like forever. And the kids would have little sticky notes. And they'd put them on lockers. Love you. Good. You know, the kids just would go crazy and I loved it. I didn't want to be around all these old people and fuddy-duddies and oh my gosh and all that. I can barely get out of bed today. And you go into the school, the kids have stickers, banners, balloons, blah, dancing. They were alive. But what if we give them to those kids? Do we give them a listening ear? Do we take time and talk with them? I think what melts in my heart was one day there's a gentleman that's here in this church who called my house. And he goes, Pastor? Yeah. This is so-and-so. Yeah. Well, I just want to talk to you about something. we're here for you. Chris has told me stories about kids that were going to take their life when they called and talked to Chris. Your life is special to the Lord, and everybody in here is special to the Lord. And you have gifts I will never have. Use them.
Well, I don't want to show off. You know, I don't want to sing up there. I don't want to play the drum.
Why not? God gave them to you. You didn't do it. Use the gifts. When I get all frustrated, can't do certain things. Oh, my goodness. You have no idea. If you were here every Sunday, you didn't know how frustrated he is. I couldn't even open the pickle jar. Without pickles for you. I still can't open the pickle jar. Just little things, the daily little things. I got so excited to be able to, we were watching, what's that called, DIY, BYI, something like that. Yeah, it's kind of like do your own thing. I got so excited because this guy used a screwdriver and I used that screwdriver. I said, Joe, I can do that. I've done that before. And he goes, I've literally stripped screws using this wrong screwdriver, turning it the wrong way, whatever. You see, what I'm trying to say is some of the things that might not be a big deal to you. I know the Lord gave Joe to me. What did the Lord give to you? What do you have to lay down for him today? But I can truthfully tell you there are many depressed people. I didn't even know what to say when this lady called me about her husband, this pastor lady that Joe was talking about, that called me. And I just went, we're praying for you. I got, and the thing that came back was, thank you. I thought, Lord, couldn't I have said something more? Couldn't I have come up with something profound to give to her, to encourage her? Her husband's there, not making it. And the Lord said, you said something important. We're praying for you. Prayer conquers everything.
Amen. Don't take it lightly.
That's right.
So truthfully, God gave us Jesus, gave us Emmanuel, to bring you and I hope that we can make it another day. That we have something to give to someone else. That we should be built up in him. We might not have everything just go cool. You know, it's just like the songs we do here. I know sometimes they're loud. But you know what? Who else can we brag about? I love to sing about Jesus. I love to proclaim who he is. I love to talk about his glory. And we should be so full of him, so full of that light, because he came on Christmas. And we can give it away. The girls were with me, and the one gal asked me if I would prophesy. I was in a panic. I praying. I said, Lord, you've got to help me get this on the page. And they laughed about it. Because you see, the Lord allowed me to put all this on a piece of paper, but I had it down the margins, up at the top, down here. And I said, you know what? I said, the Lord allowed me to put all this prophecy on a page. And they laughed. Because if anybody knows me, it isn't going to be a page long. But God did give us Jesus. He did give us prophecies. He did tell us, give us hope. And Jesus is such a precious, precious gift. I don't know. If Jesus walked in the room, wouldn't you just kind of like run up to him and hug him? I think that's what kids would do. Some people say, well, I would just fall at his feet. Well, hey, if he's walking through the door, I think you'd run up to him. He already knows you. He already knows what you're thinking about, whether you're tuning me in or tuning me out. He knows everything. Jesus, the baby that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, notice his cloths. He was the gift of life forever. And you know what? Adam, I think all of you are saved. And if you're not, don't walk out of this place today without giving your heart to Jesus. Just say, I just want to know who you're talking about. He is that real to me. I know him. Do you know him? I don't know him just because of my mom and dad who are great people. I just don't know him because my grandpa was a preacher. I know him for myself. I say that to my own children. You were raised all your life in church, but you have to know him for yourself. You can't know him as mama's Jesus, daddy's Jesus. You need to know him for you. That he came for you. And the other thing that I wrote here too is the spirit of Christmas really is giving of yourself, giving of who you are. And it should be a wonderful time of year. Maybe you lost a mama, maybe you lost a dad. I had such a hard time with that, you guys. But you need to remember, God gives us that here to remember them, remember the good. Remember the good of people and what they did. The blessing that God should be shared for this new year that's coming, 2020. There's so much going to be happening. Provisions, a job. John, you got a new job. That's God. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah, hearing Pastor Tess in the basket case on Ben Corsair dinner with everything she could. He could, but no power and authority in that. So I want to challenge you this Christmas morning. And the challenge is, can you be the light in the darkness? And can you give beyond what you should be giving? Those are my challenges to you. If you don't know him, find out who he is. And what does 2020 have to hold? Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about prophecies that the Lord has shown to Joe and I that is so hard for us to contain it and ponder it in us. And also, we're going to share what Hank and Brenda Kuhlman, we're going to share the YouTube up here with you. And I also have a handout for you that you can take with you. I don't know about you, but I'm a person like I can listen, but when I go home, I got to restudy it or whatever. So I want to encourage you to be here also next Sunday, because I really, really believe in my heart that you should be here. So you should know what's going on. So the glory of God, he is our hope. He is our light. And I don't know about you, but that glory is power. It is peaceful, and it tells us that we can make it one more day.